There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Five things Mark and Steph can't afford to do this week.
And Sarah Hedley-Heimers joins us from Condé Nast Traveller. How
Hello.
Are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
Little fraught, I think, when you walked in today, but you're nice and relaxed
the
now.
The school traffic has tested my patience today, yes.
Anyway, great to see you, Sarah, and, five things, if we can get them all in, that Mark and Struthi can't afford to do this week. We're talking, things that are perhaps out of our, range.
Just a little. I'm going to start with this amazing 22-day train journey because it covers the stands, and you were just talking about one of them. So this is a Silk Route or Silk Road train journey. So it takes you all the way from Moscow to Tibet. And the route is famous for very ancient times. It used to run between the Mediterranean and Japan, Korea, and long before trains were ever invented. Yeah. And obviously this was where our cultures rubbed off on each other and were developed and ideas were exchanged. So it's a very interesting route. And obviously all of the stands are quite interesting in terms of their very new emerging travel markets for very curious travellers. So I quite like this because it stops 22 days and it stops in a lot of those destinations. And you go on two amazing trains, the sort of trains that if you've ever read Agatha Christie.
I was going to ask that. Yeah, is it Murder on the Orient type
stuff?
Yeah,
it's that kind of train. Yeah, it's the Golden Eagle and the big suites on that. They even have their own library in them, en suite, heated flooring. So it's quite luxurious. Mm-hmm. It's still small, but not, have I got the exact measurements? 100 square feet is the biggest suite that you can get on there if you want to go crazy money. And that's 83,000 dirhams for 22 days. But Moscow is amazing, which is where it starts. So you have to go, in your lifetime, you have to go to Moscow.
Right.
The armory in Moscow is the must-do. Mm-hmm. It's it has the second biggest collection of Fabergé eggs.
Is it really?
Yeah, and the biggest collection belongs to a private owner. And so it's the only place where you can see 10 of these. It's one of the most amazing art object that you've ever seen in your life. These are amazing imperial eggs that were made by Carl Fabergé for the Russian Tsars in the era of obscene wealth. Obviously that all toppled eventually, but each year Russians celebrate Easter over Christmas and they would give these eggs, and these eggs are amazing. You know how you get Kinder eggs and there's a surprise in the eggs? Well, imagine that, but the surprise is a mini carriage made out of gold with horses with ruby eyes and, you know, just really like intricate detail.
So
it starts there and then it ends in Tibet, seat of the Dalai Lama and the highest rail journey in the world. So train spotters will love that one.
That would be an amazing trip, wouldn't it? You'd never forget that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. The only thing I will say is, because like most people, we jump to the Agatha Christie thought in our brain straight away in that beautiful romantic age of travel. However, nothing against OAPs. I've just come back from a lovely holiday with my parents. But the reality is it's the plus 70s crowd. So if you're rich and 70 plus, this is the place to hang out. This is your gang.
So there's no nightclub on the train.
There doesn't seem to be many people under the age of 30, 40 or even 50. But then, of course, it's prohibitive in that who can get 22 days off in a row? And who has 83,000 euros to spare? So it's the wealthy retirees tend to be the clientele. But still, one that I would do.
I love the sound of that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That'd be what a great start.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Can you top that?
Well, staying with the train theme, there is another one because not everybody wants to be on a train for 22 days. This one's 93,000 euros, this trip, so it's slightly more expensive and it's 20 days. But it's the most amazing La Dolce Vita trip ever. It will take you to everywhere in Italy that you would ever want to go. It is a beautiful trip, all 5-star, with special access to different galleries and islands and palaces. Because obviously, you were talking about it on the show recently, the problem with a lot of the very popular places in Italy is the tourists.
Yeah, the numbers.
The sheer vast number of tourists. And it's uncomfortable for the residents. It's uncomfortable for the tourists as well. So this is a nice trip. It starts in Venice, which I normally fly into and then avoid because of the sheer number of people. But this trip, you arrive by the Orient Express from London, which is the nice little train connection there. Yeah. So you do get to experience that. And then you arrive in Venice, and then they take you to some of the islands around Venice. Instead of being around, you know, St. Mark's Square, where the Doge's Palace and everybody's hectic, they'll take you out to where there's beautiful vineyards and quiet spaces and give you Michelin star dinners and lunches out there.
Wow.
So you
good.
Get to see it how the exclusive jet set of Venice would live it rather than how a tourist would live it. And then it goes to Lake Como.
George Clooney.
Home of the Clooney. Yeah. They should just call it Lake Clooney, shouldn't they?
Rename it.
Yeah, let's just rename that Lake Clooney. Then you're off to Milan. And when in Milan, the wealthy go to La Scala. That's one of the most famous opera houses in the world. So you get to experience that.
Amazing.
And then from Milan, you go to Florence, which is just absolutely probably my favourite place in the whole of Italy. Not so many tourists, and then you've got the amazing elements like the Ponte Vecchio, which is the old bridge. And everyone goes, all the tourists go on the Ponte Rialto in the bridge in Venice, but it's always jam-packed. And there's something just a little bit more beautiful about the one in Florence, I think. So those stone bridges with the little shops going over the top of it, they look like little houses. It's very cute. And you've got the Uffizi Gallery and Sandro Botticelli's Birth of Venus. So that is, you know, in Florence. When in Florence, you have to.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. And then it takes you from there to Capri, so you can get your Capri pants on. Give it a bit of Grace Kelly 1950s style. Amalfi Coast. Mm. How many films have been shot there? I can't count. And then you end up in Rome, where standing in the middle of the Colosseum, I think it's only fair to recite Russell Crowe in Gladiator.
Definitely.
Just to get that vibe going.
That's
you know?
Quite a trip, that is. And, you know, of the two, which, you know, the trip across Russia, ending up in Tibet, or the Italian one, which appeals more
so
to you?
Different.
Yeah,
so different.
So different
in terms of vibe.
And length of time as well.
No, they're about the same. 20
same
days
time.
And 22
oh, okay.
days. And the price is 10,000 dirhams difference. If you're already up in that ballpark,
yeah.
10,000 dirhams doesn't matter.
No.
But just one's very much La Dolce Vita, dress up, eat beautiful food. The other one, the stands, is more of a massive culture shock. And, you know, it's that the Silk Route is about taking your culture into foreign places and having your perceptions and outlooks changed by people from completely different worlds.
Yeah. What I would do is save up my money, go on the Silk Route train ride for 22 days, meet someone super rich, and then get him to take me to Italy.
Shruti, that's such a good plan.
I know.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that. And also, to be fair, the Italy one, I've just done something very similar for a fraction of the cost. Not exactly the same locations, but it's quite easy just to fly into Italy. Mm. The trains are amazing. I took business class, and it cost two business class from Turin to Venice was 95 euros.
Oh.
It was only 10 euros different between standard class, and the seats were like first class on Emirates Airlines. Beautiful. So the train's amazing. Also full of OAPs, I noticed.
You keep looking at me when you say that.
I've got serious holiday envy. Every time I go anywhere, I'm like, what? What? Everywhere I go. So, yeah, you can actually do the Italy one yourself, whereas the China, all the stands, and, yeah, that's a difficult trip to organise. Mm. The trains there aren't as efficient, and, you're going into murky waters there. Even trying to go out to Croatia is quite difficult.
Mm.
So you can imagine going through all those countries, and it's a lot of countries.
Yeah.
So, one's very cultural and one's very indulgent.
Yeah. I mean, talking about that bridge in Venice, I'm surprised it stays up. There's that many people go across it.
It has fallen down several times. It was originally in wood, and then it's been reinforced and reinforced. But, they're very fragile. Yeah, and I don't like standing on it.
Especially if you hear it creaking. You know.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
Five things Mark and Steph can't afford to do this week.
Yeah, and Sarah is with us from Condé Nast Traveler Middle East, looking at some of the luxury that maybe we can't afford. We've had a couple of fabulous train journeys. What have you got for us next?
Next up, I'm taking you to the slopes. We kind of we always think, oh, the weather's going to cool down in September, and then it doesn't, and then we go, oh, it's not until November, and then we start fantasizing about ski trips and things. So this one is getting a lot of buzz attention in the Cotswolds crowd back in the UK. It's very popular with that set. Mm. It's Deplar Farm in Iceland, and it's 40,000 dirhams for 4 days, but it's all-inclusive of the activities, and its main activity is a thing called heli-skiing. Hmm? Have you ever tried heli-skiing?
Does it involve jumping off a helicopter and skiing?
Kind of, yeah.
Very James Bond.
Yeah, it's very James Bond. I can see this would appeal to adrenaline junkies. Basically, if the black slopes are boring you and the double diamonds or whatever it is that those crazy people go down are just not adrenaline fueling enough, then you could try heli skiing, which means that you will go to complete virgin snow territory that can't be accessed by ski lift, that has to be accessed by helicopter only. It sounds incredibly dangerous, but obviously so do a lot of fun things in the world. And this farm, it was a sheep farm in the middle of nowhere in the Troll Peninsula in Iceland, and they've converted it into this sort of Babington House, Soho House style lodge with a thermal spa heated pool with its own bar built in and its own sound system. Ooh. Jamming session area for, you know, these sporty types always like to get the guitar out at the end of the night. It's this amazing resort. 4 nights. You can ski for up to 10 hours a day in the season because they have longer daylight hours.
Right.
So you get 10 hours of skiing in, and then all the après ski is included. All the activities are included outside of that, which include whale watching and snowmobiling and all that kind of, you know, snowy stuff. So, I think if you're bored with your usual adrenaline holiday, this is quite a cool one. Although, interestingly, they still have a bunk room. So even at these prices, I mean, you know, they have 12 king rooms, which are all very luxurious, but there's a bunk room that sleeps 28. So I'm just trying to think of these 28 super rich group of friends who would be like, yeah, let's go heli. And you
make
have to have
new
you
friends.
Have to have friends, because you have to have, it's based on four people sharing, because the helicopter seats four. So you have to have three equally wealthy friends who can afford it. But yeah, bunk room of 28 when you're spending 40,000 dirhams.
I don't think so.
Too much pressure.
How do the whales get in on this? Am I on the slopes as well?
I don't know. I'm going to Iceland before the end of the month, so I'm going to find out.
Right.
Yeah, where are the whales? What season? But yeah, there's whale watching. It was on the menu of adventures that comes with the program for the hotel. Deplar Farm, it's called.
Yeah, sounds all right. Might be a bit cold for me.
Yeah, 40,000 dirhams, and you need to have three friends.
Who also have 40,000 dirhams.
What, three friends, let's start with that. That will be a far catch.
We'll work on the money after that.
Let's all get the friends first. Yes. That one's a bit of a niche.
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't
it? It's a bit of a niche. But, you know, looking at the pictures in this weather when I was editing the images for the feature, I was like, I just like looking at pictures of snow.
Cold places.
It's very therapeutic.
All right, then. We've got another couple to go. I'm still on the train journeys, I must say.
Yeah, me too. But this one's quite interesting. Do you like watching David Attenborough?
Yes.
Yeah? You like his documentaries?
Great, isn't
he? Well, when I was writing about this, I felt like I was on set with David. Mm. This is an air safari. And it covers all of the major safari places. We've got Kenya, Tanzania, Botswana, Zambia and Zimbabwe. This air safari will take you and your family for 14 days and take you to all of these places. Now, on the one side, you're not in a jeep. So do you feel that that's an advantage because you're not
safer.
As close? Yeah. Mm. Are you safer? Or do you feel like it's a disadvantage because you're safer? Mm. Depends on how you feel about being safe, doesn't it, really?
You see the animals from a different angle, though, aren't you?
Yeah. And apparently you get to see more. There's more chance of seeing the animals. And you don't just get to see more of the animals, you get to see more of the place itself. So you've got to think these massive things like Victoria Falls, seeing that from above is obviously the best way to see it. So it's, 95,500 dirhams, that one is. So it's very expensive, but it is a plane rather than a train.
Yeah, I'm thinking how big a plane though. Are we talking? Yeah.
No, it's one of those little ones.
Yeah,
yeah, like it's one of those,
pretty scary.
Yeah, and is that per person as well?
95,000 per person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to meet more than one wealthy person on that train.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. Well, they say it's a family trip, so I assume mum and pop are picking up the bill for the kids on that one. But I mean, yeah, if your parents can afford that, that's a holiday you're going to thank them for.
And when they say you'll see more animals, but I mean, how close? I mean, because you'd have to get fairly
low.
Well,
they fly low. Mm-hmm. It does. Really? It does say it flies very low in certain parts. Yeah. But I mean, I would feel a bit guilty if the plane's like, and then all the animals are like,
scattering.
What? You know? I don't know quite how it works. But obviously, you know, they're conservationists and they're, you know.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
They
yeah.
know what they're doing. Yeah. And obviously, how do we think the documentaries are made by people like David Attenborough, you know? He's not got his own set of wings, even though he is my angel, does not mean he can fly and take that footage. So yeah, I think they know what they're doing, and it would be a very interesting way of doing it, and you're less likely to have your vehicle charged by an angry rhino, which is a bonus.
Just don't fly too low. There's a giraffe over there. Yeah. Right, we've got one more to get into.
Now, this one is crazy expensive. I don't know if anybody remembers, but a couple of weeks ago, I was cooing over the Rolls-Royce luggage collection.
Yes, you were.
And now I've moved on, fickle as I am, to coo over their picnic set because it's coming up to alfresco dining season, and
yes,
I'm thinking
is,
about
yeah.
that. So how much is this? It's 170,000 dirhams.
For a picnic set?
Yes, for a picnic set. But it's Goodwood glass, it's David Meller cutlery, it's polished Indian rosewood tables that come out of it. And because it's Rolls Royce, there's all these cute little details. The chopping boards are fitted with magnets in them, so the knives don't move off, so they magnetise for extra safety. I mean,
does
it's
it add
just,
to the flavour?
It's do you know what? For me, it really would.
What, a magnetised?
Just all of that, when I go to restaurants, if they make an effort with the tableware, it makes such a difference. I'll tell you, in Dubai, the best tableware is Marina Social. They have the most beautiful, you'd love it, it goes with your aesthetic. They've got like the skull plates with the Victoriana trims and things.
Okay.
But all of the plates are all different, so it's like a quirky, eclectic kind of collection. And I just absolutely love Marina Social for those plates. Mm. So yes, for me, all that Goodwood glassware and David Meller cutlery, I would eat very slowly and deliberately.
You've got to have the car to go with it. I mean, you couldn't be dragging one out of
the
Honda
that was
Civic,
what we said with the luggage, wasn't it? The luggage is designed to fit directly in the boot of the Wraith. I mean, what was that? That's $26,000.
Right.
But yeah, this is very expensive. But, you know, it's just to put in, you're feeling guilty about spending 95,000 on a safari, and then you go, oh, well, somebody spent that on a picnic basket. I'm okay.
All right, what are you having this week then, Shruti, out of all those five things?
I'm going to stick to my original plan and go on the train and then find the Silk Road train that takes you from Moscow to China, to Tibet.
After that one.
Yeah, and I'm going to meet someone who's going to take me to Italy.
Okay.
Life plan.
A 70-year-old on the Orient, yes.
What about Sarah? What
yeah, I'm going to go with Shushi on that one. I'm going to go Silk Road because it would be absolutely stressful and awful to do it in the non-business class way at this time in life. At this time in all of the country's developments, I've been to China and a few of the places in between, and it's too difficult. Doing it this way, you would get to enjoy every moment.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd do the Italian train.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Italian.
That's my second favourite.
A bit of pizza and some spaghetti on the train.
Great. Yeah.
Julie's text in, agree. Perfect. What's that? Clinic?
No, picnic.
Picnic. Oh, sorry. Perfect picnic. Marina Social.
Yes. She likes the plates.
She likes it as well. I like plates and the knives and
things. Yeah. Beautiful.
Sarah, it's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you. Thanks. Please, everyone, go and get the magazine. The September issue is out. Okay. And our lovely editor, Rhea, went to Nashville, which I also think you would love.
Now, I did Nashville for my gig trip in this week.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I haven't been, and she's really inspired me to put it on my to-do list. absolutely stunning. And I was thinking it was all about the music, but she found some really beautiful little elements. Like Reese Witherspoon has a little gorgeous little shop with gingham blue window dressing called Draper James. So there's a lot of style, up-and-coming art and culture, and it's all in the September issue. So pick it up on shelves now.
Cheers, Sarah.
Five things Mark and Steph can't afford to do this week.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.